morning, church. Everybody good? It's good to have you with us this morning. Hi, Jesse. I thought you were... Brent, you going to lead us in worship here in a minute? Okay, good. Glad you're with us. Should we? You know, I was telling early service that gathering together, no matter even in this building, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, it's just fellowship. But when God is with us, when He sends His Holy Spirit, it becomes worship. So we want to invite His Spirit. Yes? Let's do that. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. Thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, the name that is above every name. We beg you to come and be with us. Surprise us with your presence. Surprise us with what you have for us this day. And may everything we do lift high that name above every name, Jesus. It's His name we pray. Amen. Let's worship together.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? you may be seated. If the children would come forward.
More coming? Yeah. Come on. Come sit by me. You'll come sit by Miss Carlene? Come here. You want to sit right there by Clara? She's going to be in your classroom, okay? All right. Good. Miss Hazel's coming with her friends, her cousins. All right. How's everybody doing today?
I'm going great.
You're going great. Well, I'm excited that you're going great. Well, I'm excited to be here today. Are y'all excited to be here today? Yes, all right. Well, good. So this morning, I brought in a couple of books.
I love books.
You love books? What do you do with books?
Read them.
That's right. And if you don't want to read or can't read, you can always look at the pictures, right? Because they're fun. So let's see what I have this morning. I have Curious George Plants a Tree. I have Sammy the Seal.
I love that.
You love that book? Yes.
Oh, I love Clifford the Dog.
And then we have Clifford Goes to Dog School. I know. And then we have this one that says Froggy Learns to Swim. I said earlier, I thought frogs already knew how to swim.
Yeah, they hop.
They hop, yeah. And then I have this one, If You Take a Mouse to School.
Oh,
I know. And then they have the one about if you give a mouse a cookie, right? All of that stuff. Yes. I know. Books are so much fun because they're funny and they're silly. And
they
make you focus and they help with your learning, right? Yeah. So all these books are different, but they have one thing in common. Do you know what that one thing is? They actually do all have animals in them, but they have something else. They are not real, right? They're pretend. Do y'all like to pretend? Well, yes, but are these real?
No.
Do you think you would take a mouse to school? I don't know that your teacher would like that you brought a mouse to school, okay? And then again, the froggy learning to swim. He should know how to swim, right? Okay. And a big dog going to school. Yeah, okay. And then, of course, my favorite one, you know, I love Sammy the Seal. I don't know that I've ever heard a seal talk or walk around the town. Have y'all? Yeah, I know. So they usually stay in the water. That's right. So they're not real, but they're fun and they're silly. And do they help you learn? Yes, they do. They can teach you all kinds of things, right? They can help you learn how to read. That's right. So these are great books, but they're not. They're just pretend and made up stories, right? But there is another book I have with me, and it's different from the other ones. And this book is true. True. What book is it?
The Bible.
The Bible. That's right. You've got a Bible with you this morning. Do y'all have Bibles at your house?
I do.
Yeah.
I got two.
You have two? All right. Well, good. So is this book, can we believe everything in this book?
Yes.
Every single thing?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So what are some things that are in our Bible?
God.
God?
God.
Okay.
Jesus. Disciples.
Disciples. Moses, very good. The Lord. Does it tell us about creation, that God created the world? Yes. Do we believe God created the world? Yes. Did it tell you about a man that built a boat and he filled it with animals? Yes, he did. That's right. Did it talk about the Red Sea parting with Moses and they got to walk, the people walked on dry land, right? Does it tell us about Jesus feeding 5,000 people with two fish and 5 loaves of bread?
Yeah.
Yes. Does it talk about Jesus walking on the water?
Yes.
Yes. I know. I love that part. I know, but we can't walk on water. I don't think so, right? We can swim on water. That's right. Does it tell us that Jesus was born? Yes, it does tell us about he was born in a stable. That's right. Does it tell us that Jesus did all kinds of miracles? Yes, he made the blind man see. He made the lame man walk, right? And did it also tell us that God loves us and created us, and that God loves us so much that he sent Jesus, and Jesus did walk for us? He died on the cross for us. That's to take away our sins. Absolutely. So can we believe everything that's in this book? All the time? Yes. So is this book important to read?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Do y'all read your Bible? Huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it kind of a big book?
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes it can be kind of hard. But, huh? Do what? Yeah, it's a lot to carry, isn't it? Yeah, and hold on to it. That's right. But do you know that however you read your Bible, you can have your mom and dad read it to you, right? Grandparents can read it to you, right? You're still hearing God's truth. Is it important for us to know his truth? Is it important that we know his life? Yes, it is, because when we know who God is, guess what we can do? What do you think we can do when we know God? We can worship him.
We can pray.
We can pray. Can we tell others about God?
Yes.
But if we don't know him, how can we tell about him? You have to read the Bible, right? But do you know if you read one verse a day, is that reading your Bible?
Yes,
it is. So maybe take a little bit of time and just read a verse. You can just open the Bible. And the verse that I've chosen for today is Hebrews. Make sure I get the right one. Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is alive and active. So when you read God's word, it is the truth, and it helps you to grow and to live for him. Did you know that?
Yeah.
So even though we have fun reading all of these silly, silly books, and they're great, we need to be reading our Bibles so we can know God's truth, right? So can y'all maybe work really hard this week and read one verse every day?
I already watch the Bible on TV.
And you watch the Bible on TV. And that's a great thing. We can learn different ways, not just reading the Bible, right? We can listen to the Bible. Because when I walk in the mornings, I listen to the Bible. You can watch TV and learn about the Bible, right? There's Bible stories on the TV, right? You can go to church, that's right. Go to children's church, and you can go to Sunday school, and you can come on Wednesday nights. And what do we teach you from God's word, right? So is this true?
Yes.
Do you believe everything in here?
Yes.
Yes. Do you believe these stories?
No.
No, we don't believe these stories, but they're fun to read, right? Yes. So let's try to work on reading our Bible, okay?
But some of those books have, like, real things in them.
Well, they do have real things in them, yes, they do, yes, so... Yeah, absolutely. So, no, that's right. Yeah. So let's pray. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these boys and girls that are here today. And I thank you that as you have given us your word, I pray that we can read it and know your truth and to live your truth every day and to share your truth with those around us, Lord. We thank you again for your love and your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's go. You ready to go? Are you excited? Come on. You're going to go. You're going to be great. I'm going to show you we're going to go. Okay.
Well, good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. Good to have you worshiping with us online. Go ahead and check into the service you're attending through the app if you want to do that. A couple things on the calendar. We have a groundbreaking ceremony in 2 weeks on the 26th for the new construction. That'll be immediately following this service. We'll gather out on the volleyball court, turn over a little dirt, pray, and just thank the Lord for his provision. So that's in 2 weeks. And then our annual splash night that we have at Adventure Cove will be held on August the 4th. That's a Tuesday night, not a Wednesday night. We couldn't get it booked on Wednesday. And so that'll take place from 7:30 to 9:30. And bring your family and invite a friend to come along with you. There's always lots of space for lots of folks. If you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. You know, last week was the elementary camp, fourth and fifth graders. Marv just provided me an update. There were 90-something children, is that right? 90-something children, 20 first-time commitments to the Lord. Yeah, that's good. And then 8 rededications, so the Lord was really moving. Carlene shared some really deep, profound stories with me that some of the children their encounters they have with the Lord. So keep praying for those kiddos. You know, every year we have a group of people who go to Panama for an annual mission trip, and that's been going on for 6 or 7 years. And our church has typically organized that. Zeke and Amanda Duke have been instrumental in making that happen. In the last several years, Brandon and Millie Getz have taken the baton and ran with it. This year, the organization is coming out of a different fellowship, a different church, but there are 3 people connected to our church that are going. They are Jane Nielsen, Maria Martinez, and Dr. Tommy Farrell, and we prayed over them in the early service. And so traditionally we have bandanas available as a prayer partner for the people that are going, and there's 12 bandanas up here on the altar rail, 4 for each person. Okay, 4 for Jane, 4 for Maria, and 4 for Dr. Farrell. And I invite anybody who wants to come up and grab one and intercede for them for this trip. So, anybody? There's 6 on this side, 6 on this side. Got 2 more left. They're both the same color, so they're the same person. One more. Love you, by the way. One more. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, so when the Lord prompts your heart, just lift up your servant to the Lord. You might put that somewhere in your vehicle, somewhere in your house, where you'll see it quite often by your front door, maybe perhaps on the refrigerator. I spend a lot of time going to the refrigerator, so that would be this place I would put it. But we just want to lift up these servants. There's 20 or so that are going. I want to ask that the Lord goes before them and that the people of Panama are impacted deeply. This is the same group they've ministered to for the last 3 years, same community. I'm sure there's this expectation for the people from America to come and love on them. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. So, Father, you love the people of Panama. And you love them so much that you're sending a group of servants from our community and beyond to to minister to them and show them the love of Christ. And Lord, as these go, I just think about the power of the gospel. It's your power that brings salvation. It's your power that brings healing. And Lord, I think about the full armor of God that we're told to fit our feet with the gospel of peace. And so, Lord, I just pray as these servants go that they're just overwhelmed with peace. And that peace is evident in their lives as they interact with the people in those communities. Lord, I pray for safety and protection as they travel. I pray for flight connections to take place. I pray against any distractions, any anxiety trying to get to and from Panama. Lord, and I pray, God, against illness. I pray that our servants stay healthy. I pray that they feel your presence, Lord, every day. And again, God, I just ask that they radiate the peace of Christ, the love of Christ to the people they come in contact with, whether that's passing out medication, whether that's building something. Lord, they're all on the same team, and it's all for the same purpose. So transform lives, not just in Panama, but transform the lives of the servants, the team. I lift up specifically Jane and Maria and Dr. Farrell, God. I just thank you for them and their heart for you, heart for people. Lord, would you just bless them, meet them right where they're at. Surprise them with who you are. Surprise them with your presence, Lord, as well as the rest of the team. Oh, Father, we love you. Thank you for opportunities to serve you inside and outside of our community. And Lord, if we need to be doing something in Abilene, Texas that we're not doing, would you show us that? Just give us a heart for the broken. Give us a heart for the hurting. Give us a heart for the lost, Lord, in our community. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, God, so we can honor you in what we do. Fan into flame the gifts that are inside of us so you can be honored and glorified. And we praise you for who you are. Thank you for your Son. And we pray the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I forgot to tell you the dates of the trip are July 18th through the 25th. So leaving this Saturday, returning the following Friday. Well, thank you again, church, for your financial faithfulness. The giving options, as always, are on the screen, or the offering boxes are by the doors. Have people ready to pray this morning. If you need prayer, please take advantage of that. Let's stand as we continue to worship the Lord together and sing this great old hymn.
Is the
Yes, Jesus is alive. Did you know that? Glad that you're with us this morning. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. If you're our guest, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit and the love of His people. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. Would love to meet you at the end of the service. I'll be down at this end of the foyer. Would love to meet you. So I'm preaching on Moses today. You can turn to Exodus chapter 3, and I'll get there in just a moment. So Moses lived roughly 1,700 years ago and long before cameras were invented, but I managed to get my hands on an ancient artist rendering of Moses. So go ahead and put it up there. Yeah. So, no, a little joke. So I want to give a little history, as I've done the last couple of weeks, as we've talked about different heroes of God's Word. Life, am I fading in and out? Which means probably got a bad battery. Kira, why don't you put it on the speaker, on the pulpit for just while you're doing that, Artis. There we go. So I want to give you a summary of Moses' life, and you can break down his life basically in three 40-year chunks. The first 40 years, he was in Egypt, and God was preparing Moses for the things that would come later. He was born a Hebrew, and Pharaoh was killing the male children, Hebrew children, because he thought that the Hebrews were getting too large, and so he was killing off the male Hebrews. And at 3 months old, around Moses' mother put him in the Nile. In fact, Moses, you had no idea that he was a basket case, did you? That's not my joke. So if it's funny, it was my joke. If it wasn't, it was Mike Moreau who told me that joke. So he was placed in a basket in the Nile. He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. He was actually, and then she contacted the actual ended up being the birth mother of Moses, not knowing that, to come and nurse him. He lived in the palace. He was educated in the palace, and he discovers he's a Hebrew. He sees one of the Egyptians that was mistreating one of the Hebrews, and he ends up killing the Egyptian, and Pharaoh finds out. He's prepared to kill Moses, and Moses flees to Midian. Now, that's the first 40 years or so of Moses' life. You can read all about that in Exodus chapter 2 and actually Acts chapter 7 as well. Second 40 years, Moses lived in Midian. And God was humbling him. He was preparing him again for what was to come. He ends up marrying Zipporah, and worked for her father Jethro as a shepherd. Ended up having children, and then he discovers the burning bush. We'll talk about more of that in just a moment. And then after that episode, he returns back to Egypt again. You can read about that, Exodus chapter 2 and Acts chapter 7. Final 40 years of Moses' life, God not only has he prepared Moses, has he humbled Moses, but he is now prepared to use Moses. He returns to Egypt at God's command. He confronts Pharaoh's. We know that God sent the plagues, and we know that the final plague was the spirit of death came through Egypt and killed all the firstborn. And yet, when he saw when death was passing over, excuse me, just a moment.
I think he said just undo your pack.
Undo my pack.
Yeah, just take your headset off.
Okay. Because I like to move when I talk. Okay. This says Billy on it. Is that going to make me preach better? Billy, yeah. He didn't even get to hear that. Man, dadgummit. Anyway, okay, that's good. So as death was passing through Egypt, God had instructed Moses to have them slay the lamb, the innocent lamb, paint the blood over the doorpost, and the first Passover, as death would pass over the house when they saw the blood. And I love this, that it didn't look to see the worthiness of those inside or how good they were or anything. When he saw the blood, death passed over that household. And then we know that that ultimately led to the Exodus and the parting of the sea. And then at Sinai, Moses received the Ten Commandments, and yet they wandered for 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness. And at the very end of Moses' life, God takes him up on a mountain and he shows him the promised land. But guess what? Moses didn't get to enter. So that you can find that last 40 years in Exodus chapter 5 and Deuteronomy 34. Okay, that sets us up for Exodus chapter 3. You still with me? Okay, it's hard to summarize the entire life in just two or three minutes. Moses, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, Moses called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the Lord, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the land, from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hizzites and Jebusites and a whole bunch of other sites. Oh, that's not, that part's not in there. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you come and would you speak? Would you come and would you speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So I'm continuing the sermon series that we've had for a few weeks here by faith, where we're looking at the men and women of Hebrews chapter 11, what's known as God's Hall of Fame. Today's message is, by faith, Moses overcame his excuses. So God's calling Moses to do something, and Moses lists off four different reasons why he shouldn't do it, or how he doesn't want to do it, or shouldn't do it. Did you know that God's calling is greater than our excuses? Did you know that? So we're going to dive into these excuses and how they might pertain to us. I want you to be thinking about your life, your testimony, your service to the Lord as we walk through Moses' excuses. Moses' first excuse is, I'm not good enough. Is this, Is this on? I'm not good enough. Who am I, Lord, that I should go to Pharaoh? Moses is basically saying, there's tons of other people more qualified than me. Who am I to go? Why are you asking me? And God's response to him in verse 12, I will be with you. He's immediately taking the emphasis off of Moses and putting it back on God where it should be. Like, you don't have to worry about who you are because I'm going with you. Paul speaking to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong so that no one may boast before him. So God has this habit of picking unqualified people to do stuff. I mean, you look throughout God's word, and I think you look throughout our culture, God has this way of picking unqualified people to do miraculous things. And because of that, God receives the glory. It's not like, oh, well, you know, that guy was highly educated. He was of noble standing. He was this and that. And so that's why that happened. No, the normal, unwilling, unsophisticated people bring glory to God. God doesn't call people that are sufficient. He calls them because it's his will and because he is sufficient and because he receives the glory. Our confidence shouldn't rest in our own abilities, but in God's presence in our lives. So God answered very clearly when Moses gave his first excuse. So Moses tries again. Second excuse. Moses' second excuse, I don't know enough. I don't know enough. What if they ask me, Moses said, what if they ask me, what's his name? What shall I say? It's like, they're going to ask me all these questions and I'm not going to have answers, Lord. What if they ask me these things? And God very clearly said, I am. They ask who sent you. I am who I am. I am has sent you. We don't have to have this vast knowledge. I remember when I first really was impacted tremendously by the Lord. I was not in the ministry then, and I remember that I just wanted to lead. I just wanted to be in the Word. I didn't feel qualified. And I like at church, I was like, I want to do a Bible study or a small group with somebody. And I promise you, I learned more than anybody I taught. I learned because I had to study the word to present it, and then in presenting it and then just the discussion, I grew exponentially just by diving in. I hear that often. I don't know enough. I don't know the Bible well enough to do this or that. Jesus said it this way in Luke 12. He said, when you're brought before the synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. We have been, Cheryl and I were actually talking about this last night, that I believe the greatest thing, the greatest obligation, if you will, to us as believers in Christ is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I mean, we can do a lot of other things. We can build houses and we can pass out food and we can go on mission trips and we can do, but our primary responsibility is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we have, God has, what a privilege, say this to our staff as well, what a privilege it is for us to be entrusted with the good news of Jesus Christ. What a privilege that is to have that to share. We've been entrusted with this gospel by the great I am. It's his message that we're called to share. You don't need to know everything. You don't need to have an answer for everything. One of the greatest testimonies that we can have is just our own personal testimony. One of the greatest ways to witness about the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is just tell people what he's done for you. Has he done anything for anybody in here? Just tell people what he's done for you. God supplies the wisdom that we lack. Third, and then Moses, so he's not giving up. Third excuse, I'm not eloquent enough. What if they don't believe me or listen to me? I'm slow of speech. Now, by the way, some of you retired pastors may disagree with me on this. You'll hear people say that Moses had a stuttering problem. Anybody ever heard that? Scripture doesn't seem to me to indicate that. It doesn't say anything about stuttering. But it does say I'm slow of speech. And what if they don't listen to me? What if I'm not eloquent enough to convey this message that you're sending me to convey? Well, first of all, God's answer to that, he gave miraculous signs. At first he said, throw your staff down on the ground. He turned it into a snake. And then he said, if that doesn't work, here's another one. Put your hand in your cloak and take it out. And it had leprosy. And he said, now put it back in your cloak and pull it out again. And the leprosy was gone. God will do our talking for us. God is much more interested in willing hearts than polished speech. I want to say that one again. He's much more interested in willing hearts than polished speech. Again, God's answer, he gave the miraculous signs, and then he says, who gave man his mouth? It's like, you're telling me that you don't have eloquent words, that you're slow of speech. You think I can't overcome that? God is saying, you think I'm the one that put speech in your mouth. I can help you say anything that needs to be said. And then he says, now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. Paul to the church in Corinth, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. Now, here it is right here. Here's what God is, I think, speaking to us. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you know that, if you know Jesus died for you, if you know that he is the changer of hearts, you have enough. You have enough. My message, Paul says, and my preaching were not wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. God is saying, you don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be slick. In fact, if I walk up, I'm going to buy a vehicle, and I walk up and Slick Willie is there, I'm moving on to the next lot. I just want an average guy to answer my questions, tell me what I need to know, help me out. And I believe it's the same with the gospel. I feel we're trying to be slick with it. And he said, he's just saying, put yourself in my hands and watch me work. Watch me work. He is more interested in our hearts than he is in our polished speech. And sometimes I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in others. He uses our greatest failures and our greatest weaknesses to display his amazing strength and his grace. Paul was struggling with a thorn, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he's pleading with God to take this from him, this that he's struggling with. And the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, God's power, is made perfect in weakness. You want to see, for us to humble ourselves and go, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here, what I'm supposed to say here, but I'm trusting you. I'm going to be your servant. So Moses, I'm not good enough. The Lord answered that. I don't know enough. The Lord answered that. I'm not eloquent enough, Lord. He's begging him. Can you hear it? And then finally, I love this in verse 13. Oh, Lord, please send someone else. I don't know enough. I'm not eloquent enough. I'm not good enough. I can't speak well enough. Please, Lord, please send somebody else. Surely there's somebody else to send. I love this, that it says, did you know God got angry at Moses? I can just see, almost see God sighing. Moses. Because God got angry at Moses, yet graciously he provided Aaron, Moses' brother, to go with him. Okay. I'm not liking it, but you're wearing me out, dude. Did you know that's the revised Jeff version? But you're wearing me out, Moses. Fine, I'll send Aaron with you. But guess what? Moses went. He went. I was just reminded of the story of Jonah. You know the story of Jonah. God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. There's great sin in that city, and go and preach the gospel to them and tell them they need to repent, or I'm going to destroy them. And you know, Jonah, he didn't do it. He runs away, and a storm comes on the ship he's on, and he tells them, I'm the reason for the storm. They throw him overboard. A big fish swallows him up. Then that fish spits him up on the shore. Finally, notice Jonah gets the point and says, okay, fine, I'll go tell them. So he goes and he tells them that if they don't repent, it's not going to be good. And guess what Nineveh did? They repented. Jonah, man, I imagine God had something to talk to Jonah about later. Jonah wasn't happy because they repented. But he finally went. Sometimes I believe God's greatest obstacle with us, the greatest obstacle to his work is our unwillingness. Please send somebody else. I know you want me to forgive that person. I know you want me to go say hi to that person. Please send someone else. I told this story a few years ago, actually, and did a funeral recently and ran across this lady again. But several years ago, I was driving down Antley Road, and there was a young black lady walking down the road. And as I passed her, there was a prompting in my spirit that God said, I want you to pull over and pray for this lady. And I'm like, she's going to think I'm a mugger or something. And so I kept going. I was heading down Antley, and she was down by the high school. And I turned left on Buffalo Gap Road, and I'm almost to the mall. And, man, that little Holy Spirit would not let me go. And I turned around, and I went back, and I pulled up behind this lady. And I thought, Lord, she's gonna think all kinds of things. And so I pulled up, and I got out, and I said, ma'am. Yes. I said, you're going to think I'm strange, but the Lord told me I'm supposed to pray for you. Oh, well, that is so sweet. Well, thank you for that. I said, is there anything that I can pray for you for? Said, oh, well, no, everything's pretty good. And so there was kind of a silence for a couple of seconds, and she started crying. And she said, I'm really going through a hard time right now. And so right there on the side of Antley, I put my hand on her shoulder and I prayed for her, and we hugged and said goodbye, and I didn't see her for a while. What was that? Just like last week. She was at a funeral, coming through the funeral line. And she came over and gave me a hug and said, "You don't remember me. You prayed for me on Antley Road." Sometimes we just tell God, "God, please send somebody else." That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. "I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I'm not eloquent enough. Please just send somebody else." Moses, the story of Moses is not that he was this incredible man, extraordinary. He was an ordinary man that overcame his fears and his excuses and became obedient to what the Lord told him to do. And because of that, God's people walked free. And I think about us today with the message of the gospel. There's a lot of, maybe not in bondage in Egypt, but there's a lot of people in bondage to sin in our world, all around us. The Lord showed me this several years ago. There's hurting people everywhere. They're all around us. Hurting and lost and in bondage. We have all kinds of excuses, but God's just saying, "Go. I want you to go for me. I want you to be my representative. I want you to be my ambassador to a hurting world." God still delights in using normal, imperfect, reluctant people like you and I to do his will. People that just trust and obey him. If you'll bow your heads with me. Lord, forgive us for our excuses. You have given us the words of life for a hurting world. And Lord, I'm first one to confess that I'm not always faithful to that. Sometimes I let fear and doubt overcome, or maybe just laziness. Father, would you inspire us? Would you convict us and enable us, equip us to be bearers of the good news of Jesus Christ? As Paul said, all we know is that Christ crucified. He's done for us. We love you. Praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is always open as we continue to worship and close with this worship. The altar is open. There will be people to pray with you also. Don't leave this place if you don't know that Jesus that wants to set you free. He loves you. If you'll rise if you're able.
Except for a heart singing high.
no, you're, even with no, Moses' reluctance and his excuses, did you notice he's in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame, God's Hall of Fame? He made it by faith. God said to him, now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. And I believe that that same word comes to us today. Just go. He'll show you. He'll show who to love. If you've got a willing heart, he'll show you who to share the good news with. Go and tell somebody. We're dismissed. God bless you. Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.